भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, since it's not written, I'm just going to read the verse, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms after that. Narayanastvam nahi sarvatehinam atmasyadeshakilaklukkasakshi Narayanongam narabhujalabhyanat tatschappi satyam natvaivamaya Narayanastam nahi sarvadehinam atmasyare sakkila loka sakshi Narayanongam narabhuja lagyanat tatshapi satyam natatvaivadmaya Narayanastam nahi sarvadehinam atmasyare sakkila loka sakshi Narayanongam narabhujalayanat tatshapi satyam natvaiva maya. Okay, so you can repeat. Narayanaha. The Supreme Lord Narayana. Tvam. You. Na. Not. He. Whether. Sarva, of all. Dehinam, embodied living beings. Atma, the super soul. Asi, you are. Adisha, O supreme controller. Akila, of all. Loka, planets. Sakshi, the witness. Narayanaha, Lord Sri Narayana. Angam, the expanded plenary portion. Nara, from the Supreme Personality. Who, originating. Jalab, of the water. Ayanat, because of being the manifesting source. Tat, that expansion. Cha, and. Api, indeed. Satyam, true. Na, not. Tava, your. Eva, at all. Maya, illusory energy. So translation, are you not the original Narayana, O Supreme Controller, since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms? Because realms is a difficult word for some of you, it means places. Indeed, Lord Narayan is your expansion and he is called Narayana, because he is the generating source of the primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory maya. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hari Lila, Chapter 2, Text 30, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. This statement was spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Lord Krishna after the Lord defeated him by displaying his mystic powers. Brahma had tried to test Lord Krishna to see if he was really the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a coward boy. Brahma stole all the other boys and their cows from the pasturing grounds, but when he returned to the pastures, he saw that all the boys and cows were still there. For Lord Krishna had created them all again. When Brahma saw this mystic power of Lord Krishna, he admitted defeat and offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the proprietor and seer of everything in the creation and as the supersoul who is within each and every living entity and is dear to all. Lord Krishna is Narayana, the father of Brahma. Because Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, after placing himself on the Garbha ocean, created Brahma from his own body, Mahavishnu in the causal ocean and Shirodakshai Vishnu, the supersoul in everyone's heart, are also transcendental expansions of the Supreme Truth. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Sanatana Goswami has elaborately explained the expansion of the Vishnu or Narayan incarnations from the original form of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The essence is that although Lord Brahma was born from Lord Narayana, Brahma now understands that Narayana is himself a mere expansion of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So again, the verse. Narayanas tvam nahi sarvadenam atmasyati shakila loka sakshi narayanangam narabhujalayanat tatschapi satyam natha vaiva maya. So omaganat mrendasha gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmiditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So this verse, what's described is the Vishnu Tattva. Actually, I'm going to tell you what the word Tattva means, which is interesting. Tat means, basically, if you put an H in front of it, you understand what it is in English. That. Which is interesting. But it also means that which is eternal. That which is real. And in the Bhagavad Gita, what do we have? Nasato vijite bhavo nabhavo vijite sataho ubiyor api drishtuantas 20 astat vidarshvihi. And if you don't know that verse, it means those things that are temporary are unreal. And those things which are eternal are real. So, what does that mean? Does that mean this table is unreal? Yeah, in one sense. Because the material energy is always in flux. Flux means it's always changing. There was one great philosopher who one time stated, Western philosopher who stated, that you can't step into the same river twice. You understand that? You can't step into the same river twice. Why is that? Anyone know? Nobody knows? Nobody's listening? Why? Because the water's flowing. The river is always different. So the material energy, even the scientists have understood this, when they look very closely at matter using their electron microscopes, they see that everything's always in motion. And not only is everything always in motion, but they discover that basically, all the particles are actually waves. Anyway, I don't know if I should get too technical and bewilder everyone with this. But this is called quantum mechanics. You can Google it today and impress your friends. So when they go down to really like micro, nanoparticles like that, subatomic means smaller than the atom. Then you discover basically nothing is real. And they come up with all sorts of strange conclusions by studying this subatomic matter. So anyway, so therefore the forms that this matter is taking right now are unreal. And when we use them, yes, we're using the unreality to serve the reality. So we're using those things that are temporary to serve the ultimate reality, who is Krishna. Right? But the material energy is not unreal. So you may think I just contradicted myself. No, the forms are unreal, but the energy always continues to exist, but changes forms. The example I sometimes give is a piece of clay. A piece of clay can take many different shapes according to the person who is shaping it. You understand clay? I'm sure all you children or adults, when you were children, played with clay, right? And then you put it back like that. And then it just becomes a lump after that. You make little people with it. You make little houses. I played with a lot of clay when I was a kid. And then it goes back. So the same way the material energy at the time or before the creation is in the pradana state. Pradana means unmanifested. It's there, but it just hasn't shaped, come into shape yet. And it comes into shape when Krishna, Narayan, is described here, looks at it, saikshita is the Sanskrit word, and he puts his energy into it, which consists of the soul, and his looking, his vision, is Shambhu, Lord Shiva. That's why you have the Shiva Linga. It represents the progenitor. You understand? Prajapati, progenitor. Shiva Linga and the Yoni. So that represents the glance of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Shiva is the glance of Lord Vishnu. Something new for you all. And he also destroys the material energy. Anyway, it's a very special tattva. He also has his own tattva. So getting back to the point, is the tattva refers, tattva, that is, that which is. That's what the word means, tattva. That which is. That which exists. So the tattva, the material energy, is a tattva. Shakti is a tattva. And then another tattva, of course, is us. Jiva tattva. You understand? The Shakti tattva, Jiva tattva, and of course, Vishnu tattva, the three tattva. These are called tattva triya. That means the three tattvas that always exist. And of course, there's statements about the Jiva soul in the Gita, that Najayate, Mriyate, Vakadachan, Nayam Bhutva, Bhavita, Vahanabhuya, Jonacha, Sashvato, Yam, Purano, Nahanyate, Hanyamane, Shivare, that everybody knows that verse. That for the soul there's never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be, is unborn, primeval, and is not slain when his body is slain. So these are all tattvas. Okay, so here in this particular verse and purport, we're talking about Vishnu tattva, which is a category. And Krishna is the original Vishnu tattva, although Vishnu expands from Krishna. So the word Vishnu is used in a different context. When you say Krishna expands as Vishnu, that's one thing, that's describing a specific expansion of Krishna. And then you say Vishnu tattva is the category, the name of the tattva, the name of the category. You understand? So we're talking about categories. Tattva means a category. So you got jiva tattva, Vishnu, just to reiterate. Jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva, and Shakti tattva. And of course, the original Shakti tattva, Shakti, is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is known as the Adi Shakti. And all the other Shaktis. Oh, Vishwanath. Nice to see you. So all the other Shaktis expand from Srimati Radharani. I mean, Durga is an expansion of Lakshmi. So you have Radharani, and then she expands as two primary associates, Lalita, Vishakha, and the Ashtashakhi, the eight gopis, and then the other Shaktis. And then after that you have the Lakshmis in the spiritual world, Lakshmi Sahasra Sataha, Sambrahma, Sevivanam, Govinda, Madhipurisham, Tamaham, Jami, who are serving, millions, thousands of Lakshmis. Of course, that verse says thousands, but it's actually unlimited Lakshmis who are serving the Lord. And then Lakshmi expands in this world. Of course, she has other expansions in this world, such as Bhudevi, you understand, and Saraswati, These are other expansions of Lakshmi. And then also Lakshmi expands ultimately, just like Krishna expands as Lord Shiva, Lakshmi expands as Durga. And if one wants to have Lakshmi, we know that famous statement, if one wants to have Lakshmi without Narayan, what do they get? No one knows. Durga. Just like your friend, Robin, he wanted Lakshmi, right? Your friend, not mine. Sometimes people act like Robin. We should not act like Robin. Prabhatim cha, nivratim cha, janana vidu asura. It means someone who doesn't know what to be done, he's a demon. So we should act like devotees. Even though we dress like devotees, we should act like devotees too. Which means, as we stated last night, not having any enemies. Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhabhushana. You know, not hating anybody. Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atma Nevana Pashati. So there's the tattvas. I mean, just explaining what different tattvas are. And in Jiva tattva, we explain. So in the Vishnu tattva category, we have Krishna as the original Vishnu tattva. Now, why do we say that? Because you can run into so many people in India, and I'm sure also in Fiji, who say that Krishna is an expansion of Narayan. And if you go to South India, especially you go to Sri Rangam, they'll be stating that Krishna is the expansion of Narayan. So why do we say that? Well, we are also Shastra Chakshus. The Shastra tells us, Ete Changsa, Kalakpumsa, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. After giving a whole list of the different incarnations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, then you have Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's the original. So, but that's a Shastric statement, but logically, we can understand that Krishna is the original Narayan, the original Vishnu Tattva, as Lord Chaitanya explained to Venkata Bhatta. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Sri Rangam during the Chaturmash period, Chaturmash period means the rainy season, where the sages don't travel, he had this interesting discussion with Venkata Bhatta, who is the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he said several things. That Lakshmi, he said, you're Lakshmi. He was joking with him. Because Venkata Bhatta was worshiping Lakshmi, you know. And says, your Lakshmi is supposed to be the most chaste person. Chaste lady. And so why is she worshiping this coward boy? Just like, anyway, it's an interesting story in the Vidugdha Madhava that Radharani one time was getting very upset because she thought she was unchaste. She thought, I'm in love with three different people. I must be the, she was ready basically to leave her body. She was thinking herself unchaste. She said, I'm in love with three different people. One of those people, persons, plays a flute. Another one's name is Krishna. And another one is that attractive coward boy. So in her madness, she was thinking there are three different people. And therefore she was considering herself unchaste. And actually, there was a test to see who was the most chaste person in Vrindavan. And the because Krishna was sick, and then the only way the sickness could be cured is if the most chaste girl would carry a water pot with so many holes in it across the Yamuna River, walking on one of Krishna's hairs. And everyone tried, even Kutila, Radharani's sister-in-law, so-called sister-in-law, tried, and she fell into the water. And so Radharani was able to carry this water pot without any water coming out. And it was revealed later that Krishna actually plugged up all the holes because she was the most chaste person. Also, there's a story about Sita Devi. When Sita Devi was in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, there were accusations. The brahmacharis were starting to get upset because they thought, you know, this is an unchaste lady. She's having a kid. She's had a kid, you know, two kids actually. And where's her husband? And so Valmiki Muni made a whole test for Sita Devi, where she would, there was this Shibi Shagara, that means an ocean of a pigeon. This pigeon previously, oh, I guess I should tell the whole story. There were two pigeons. And the lady pigeon came back late from catching worms one day. And the man pigeon said, "You were unchaste. You didn't come back in time." And the lady pigeon said, "Who ever heard of pigeons being chased?" Like Prabhupada would often say, the pigeons, they can have illicit life, you know, 100 times a day. So, but this man pigeon said, this is a holy place. Pigeons are supposed to be chased. So you can prove your chastity by flying over this whole lake, which was like so many yojanas long, and not falling in the lake. And pigeons aren't very good at flying over long distances. So the pigeon was able to do it by the mercy of the demigods. In the same way, Sita Devi was given that test too, that she could fly over the lake, and she did. Some of you have not heard that story. Interesting story from the Ramayana. So, getting back to the point, Lord Chaitanya is telling a story within a story. Lord Chaitanya was talking to Venkatapati. He said, "You're Lakshmi. You're supposed to be chaste, yet she's fallen in love with this, you know, this young guy." This young guy in Vrindavan who plays a flute. And Venkatapati knew the answer to that. He said, "Look, Krishna is just another form of Narayan. And Krishna is an expansion of Narayan." He had the wrong philosophy there. And so Lord Chaitanya said, "Yeah. But I want to ask you something else. That Lakshmi is supposed to be, you know, the original, and Radharani is her expansion." Because he also thought Radharani was the expansion of Lakshmi. He said, "Lakshmi was performing austerities for so many years to enter into the rasa dance with Krishna. And she couldn't do it. Why?" And Venkatapati basically said, "I don't understand. I don't have the answer to that question." And the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Lakshmi could not enter into the rasa dance because she's attached to her opulent mode of worship. Now, not that Lakshmi is attached to some material opulence, it's not a fact. But there's different modes of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's the mode of worship in awe reverence. Aishwarya is called. You understand? And then there's the mode of worshiping Krishna in spontaneity. It's called madhurya, sweetness. So Lakshmi was attached to this opulent worship. And of course, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do opulent worship. And so that opulent worship sometimes is connected with Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means performing devotional service according to the rules and regulations, opulently. And Vaidhi Bhakti is part of Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti means practice. But then, and in that mood, you're actually worshiping Krishna in his expansion as Narayan. Does that make sense? Like Prabhupada said, we're worshiping Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. It's true. Because we're not dressing Krishna like a coward boy. We're dressing him like a king. And in Vrindavan, he dresses like a coward. He doesn't even wear shoes. And we put shoes on the altar, don't we? We have shoes in front of the deities. As far as I know. Paduka. But in Vrindavan, the gopis and Mother Yashoda say to Krishna, you should wear shoes, you're going out in the pasturing ground and there's so many thorns. And what does Krishna say? He says, if the cows don't have shoes, why should I wear shoes? I don't want to be better than the cows. This is how much love he had for the cows. So he's going out barefoot all the time. And the gopis, they're in anxiety, thinking about Krishna's feet being pricked. Even they're in anxiety when they put Krishna's feet on their chest. And they're thinking it's too hard. We want Krishna to have soft lotus feet. You know, Krishna's feet are so soft that when they're touched, they change colors. Does you touch it? Of course, you don't touch it, but anyway. When the gopis touch Krishna's feet, the feet, you know, turn all sorts of colors. They're soft. Lotus feet. That's why we call it lotus feet, because they're very soft. So the deities, we give them shoes. And we give the deities all this different paraphernalia and everything like that. And we have to understand the proper mood. And so we're not going to change that. It's not that when you get advanced, you know, you take away the paduka from Krishna. And you just dress him like a coward boy with a shawl and send him out to it. But you have to understand the proper mood of worshiping the deities. Just like when you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the altar, you don't worship him as a sannyasi. That the mood we have for worshiping Lord Chaitanya is as a householder, you know, opulently. As a sannyasi, you just wore a short dhoti. Or, you know, very, very short. Like a lungi. And basically, he didn't have a sikha, he didn't have a Brahmin thread. Because in the tradition of Vaishnava sannyas, and also Mayavad sannyas, is they cut off their sikha when they take sannyas, and they get rid of their Brahmin thread. Because the sannyas in the Vaishnava tradition is Paramahamsa sannyas. And of course, there's also part of Vajrakacharya, but in tradition following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's Paramahamsa, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan didn't wear saffron, they wore white. And they had a little shawl. So you have to understand the right mood for worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, when you become advanced, or should we use the word you, when or if? I'm trying to correct my English here. When and, or let's use both words. When and if you become advanced, then you will internally worship Krishna in the beginning, Raghunuga, on the spontaneous platform. And then later on, of course, Bhava Bhakti, and then after that, Prema Bhakti. So these are the different stages of devotional service. So the point is that the intimacy in which the devotees worship Krishna, which even Lakshmi couldn't enter, and Lakshmi is the consort of Narayan, indicates that's far higher than the awe and reverent worship. And Prabhupada gives a practical example in that regard. He talks about how there's a man, he's at home, he has an intimate relationship with his family, he goes to work, and he has a different name at work. And so, which is higher? His relationship with his family. It's a higher understanding of that person, not his work name or his work position. So here, Rama did not understand that. At least, now he's understanding it, of course. But he didn't understand it during the Brahma Vimohana Leela, which is Prabhupada's and Prabhupada's servants who wrote the purport are making reference to. The Brahma Vimohana Leela is the Leela in which Lord Rama stole the coward boys and the little calves. And this Leela is not really accepted by some of the followers of Sripad Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, of course, we are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but if you go to Udupi and you try to talk to them about this particular Leela, they say, don't talk about it. Because they don't want to consider that Lord Brahma was an illusion. You know, because he's their acharya, and he's our acharya. So how do we explain that? But this illusion is a pastime of Krishna. And why did Krishna arrange this pastime? Many different reasons. I mean, externally, to teach Lord Brahma a lesson and show the whole universe, you know, by the example, who he is, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. But even more important is Krishna's esoteric reason for performing this particular pastime. Esoteric means his, like, hidden reason. Krishna always has two reasons for doing things, at least two. One is the exoteric, that means something like yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bhavata. And the esoteric is, like in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, to understand Radharani's love for him, to see himself from Radharani's perspective, and to understand or appreciate her enjoyment in serving him and the enjoyment of a devotee. So that's that. So what is the esoteric reason for Krishna to actually allow Lord Brahma to kidnap the coward boys and the calves? Well, the esoteric reason is that several different things. First of all, the ladies, all the ladies, the elderly gopis, they wanted to have Krishna as their son. So when Krishna's coward boys and calves were stolen, Krishna expanded himself as all the coward boys and calves for a whole year until Lord Brahma realized his mistake. And so everybody got a chance, even the cows got a chance to have Krishna as their son. Nice, isn't it? Even the cows. Because the calves, I mean, they were the elderly calves, and it's described in the Krishna book in the 10th canto later on, that the cows were running down the hill to join their older calves, and they couldn't be stopped by the coward men because those calves were Krishna. It's amazing. And Balaram, towards the end of the year, he was saying, you know, what's happening, Krishna? All these people have as much affection for their kids as they do for you. And it's also interesting in Vrindavan that people have more affection for Krishna than they do for their own children. But in this case, their own children were Krishna. So they had that affection for their own children, who was Krishna, who were all Krishnas, expansions of Krishna. And then another point is that all the gopis, they wanted to marry Krishna. So they married all the coward boys, you know, young betrothal, whatever it was, because people got married early in those days. They didn't live with their husbands or wives, but they got married. So they, so basically, they had that marriage during that year, and so they all married Krishna. Krishna is very funny in the way he does all these different tricky things like this. So it wasn't Lord Brahma's fault. He was playing a part in the pastime. And ultimately he reveals Krishna's ontological position, or Krishna's, you know, the tattva, that all the expansions come from Krishna, even though he knew that already. You can't say that he didn't know that because he wrote the Brahma Sangita, right? At the beginning of creation, he wrote the Brahma Samhita, Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So he already knew that. The Brahma Samhita details that Krishna is the original. There's so many verses that indicate that in the Brahma Samhita. But somehow or other, he forgot by Krishna's yoga maya. It's yoga maya, so we're not criticizing Lord Brahma. And therefore, this pastime took place. I mean, devotees are always under yogamaya. They forget sometimes Krishna's God. Or they appear to be attached in the material world, even though they're not. I mean, let's give the example of Srila Prabhupada, who is an absolutely pure devotee, Nityasiddha devotee. And Prabhupada gives the example that he would have dreams of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur coming and telling him, take sannyas, leave your home. And Prabhupada said, I was horrified. You know, so what's happening here? This is yogamaya. You understand? It's yogamaya to help Krishna enact his pastimes. It's like Ravan was under yogamaya, Kumbhakarna was under yogamaya, Aranyakashipu, Aranyaksha, to help the Lord in their pastimes. Even Jai and Vijay, when they opposed the four Kumaras, that was all yogamaya. But for us, it's mahamaya. You shouldn't think, oh, I'm attached to this world or whatever you're attached to. It's all yogamaya. We should be pretty humble, you know. This is mahamaya, mama maya dharachya, mama eva ye pajante. So if we want to overcome this mahamaya and be under yogamaya, then mam cha yo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati jayatam. We have to be engaged in devotional service and please Krishna's representative Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, so that's some of the points. So anybody have any questions or comments or arguments? We covered a lot of points. You know, the tattvas, we covered the points of Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam and gave different explanations. Of course, one thing I didn't mention, proving that Krishna is the original, was that Krishna has different aspects to his nature and to his pastimes that no other incarnation or expansion has. Remember, plays the flute, intimate pastimes, intimate devotees, and beauty that even Mahavishnu wants to see. You know, there's that whole story in the 10th canto that Mahavishnu made an arrangement to steal the sons of a Brahmin so Krishna and Arjuna would go to see him, and he just wanted to see Krishna. So even Krishna's other expansions, they want to see Krishna and they want to serve Krishna. Questions? Comments? This Fiji, no questions? Yeah? Do you have any questions? What's that? Bhudevi and... Well, Shridevi is Lakshmi. Shri is Lakshmi. But Bhudevi is expansion. Sometimes Bhudevi is explained as the Maya Sita. I mean, there's that whole story, which we don't have time to tell, as the Maya Sita that was substituted for Sita Devi in the Ramayana. And there's that whole story, Venkateshwara's story, where she married Lord Vishnu. Venkateshwara. But I don't have time. That's a whole other story which would take 15 minutes to tell. So, you know, Bhudevi, and, you know, there's other goddesses of fortune too. And they're Shaktis. However, we are not Shakti Tattva. We're Jiva Tattva. So we, and then again, we'll use the word if. I was almost going to say when. So if we go back to the spiritual world, we serve under the Shaktis. Like, if you go back to Krishna Loka, then you have the Astasakis, and this is a little advanced for all of you. Anyway, so then you serve under the direction of one of the Astasakis. What their particular mood. And anyway, that's what happens in the spiritual world. You're not going to become one of the Astasakis. My God, that's Mayavad philosophy. You're not going to become Mother Yashoda. You know, as much as sometimes we come across these young couples in love and they say, you're my Krishna and I'm your Radharani. Do we hear people say that? That's Bollywood. But people, you know, life imitates movies. So it's not like that. We cannot become one of those prominent personalities, we can become a servant. Gopi Bharata Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasanu Dasa. Any other questions? Yes. What? Samabonam. That means the greatest or the topmost benediction. Or topmost, it can use benediction, but it can mean benediction. It's actually Latin. It's a Latin expression, it's not Sanskrit. It can mean greatest benediction or greatest goal, like that. The summum bonum. That's actually an interesting expression. Summum, that means the complete. Summum, it's like you have the word in English, sum. The sum of two, you know, one and one, the sum is two. And summum bonum, that means complete or absolute or highest benediction or highest position. Summum bonum. So Krishna is summum bonum. Thank you for that question. A little educated question. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Right.
So the super soul is all pervading, just like the impersonal
person. It's not impersonal. Actually, Prabhupada describes the super soul's presence to be technical is reflected in the heart. Prabhupada describes it's like a moon or the sun that's in the sky that's reflected in different bodies of water. We could say, because the moon's presence and energy is present in that water. So you say, oh, look at the moon. But the moon is the moon is far away. And so the super soul is transcendental. He never touches Maya. We say he's in the heart. But he's not if you do a heart surgery, you know, he's just like swimming there. Like that, you know, you go to the hospital and you do a heart surgery. I'm sure people have done heart surgery, maybe not here in Fiji. They never see the super soul. Even though it's described like eight inches high, because that's the presence of him is manifest. And he's giving intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And yes, the presence is manifest in every atom. That's why there's energy in every atom. And also subatomic particles too, everywhere. You know, he's present everywhere. This way the super soul exists. And he's the knower. Knower of all the bodies. And we only know our body. So, and the soul also doesn't come in contact with matter. Yasamu Purusha. Yeah. The soul doesn't touch matter. But the illusion, Krishna's material illusion, makes us think we're in touch with matter. It's like virtual reality, which I've given that example many times. We think we're touching this. I think I'm touching this table right now. And I think this is enjoyable. Let me touch something soft. It's like everybody likes to, not here, but everybody likes to get a cat or a dog because they're nice and soft and you can pet them like that. But they're not really touching them. It's all illusion. You think you're touching them, but it's just this body that's transmitting the impulses through the nerves to the brain. I mean, it's like, for example, if you have some spinal damage, you can rub your hand on anything or your feet, whatever, depending on where the spine is broken. And you don't have any feelings. So it's not you. It's a whole body, which is a complicated machine, Yantra, Rudani, Maya. So, but super soul is never an illusion. It's interesting. Anyway, that's time for another class. Anyway, I was just going to tell you something about super soul. It's really interesting, but there's no time. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.